The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
This is the Cat Attack Podcast, Wednesday afternoon edition, off the back of a big win, a good win against the Western Bulldogs. This is the Kerr's Hire, Kingy, too. Not just any old podcast.
It's for Kerr's Hire. Old
Jason.
Jared.
John Jared. I was actually being serious.
I know, and I
got it wrong.
But you still got it wrong.
Jared, no, look, Jared is a wonderful supporter, loves the Cats, and great supporter of Current Footy and the podcast. So great to have him on board. He'll be up and about, Kingy, after a 4-0 start.
It is a good start. I'm still jury out until we see the next month.
Oh, 100%. And if if the jury's not out, they're deliberating. But
come and talk to me after the Port Adelaide game.
Yeah, you said that last week, and I wholeheartedly agree that the Cats have started really well. There couldn't have been any more positivity to their start, but let's not start sort of making any wild predictions or off the back of it.
I was surprised it's Geelong's best start since 2017, considering that time they've played in a prelim and two prelims and two grand finals in that stage.
Yeah. If I said to you, okay, at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, that Bonampally, Liberatore and Treloar would have about 110 possessions, over 30 clearances, and kick 4 goals.
Geelong were getting smashed.
No, and Tom Hawkins didn't kick a goal, and Jeremy Cameron only kicked 2, and only a handful of Geelong players had more than 20 possessions, you would have said Geelong probably lose by 6 goals.
Yeah, that's a pizzling.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's been what I've liked, Kingy, about the first 4 weeks, is that it's been quite a team effort. There hasn't been anybody... I mean, in that game against the Bulldogs... I reckon you'd struggle to sort of... If somebody said to you, was there a standout for Geelong, you'd say no.
Myers' game was outstanding. I thought Cameron's game was
brilliant. He kicked 2-4.
But the way he found the footy up the ground,
yeah,
and the way he set up a couple of goals, a couple of those kicks back into the middle, he's an elite kick of the footy.
Absolutely. No, I agree. He was good. He was good. He wasn't dynamic.
Grindmeyer's got 9 coaches' votes.
He was good. My point is that I just thought it was a good team effort.
Oh, it was a great team.
Because the Bulldogs stars played well. I mean, Norton was well held by De Koning for most of the night, which was a big tick. And Hugo Hagen was, he played okay. He sort of flitted in and out.
Sam Darcy got off the chain a little bit.
Yeah, he's going to be a good player, Sam Darcy, isn't he?
He's
coordinator for 208. Mm. He was good. But anyway, look, I thought it was just a fantastic team performance, which has been a bit of a theme, I think, of this season thus far. There's been a good sprinkling of productivity from a whole host of players at certain times. None of them have dominated. There hasn't been a game where someone's just gone absolutely berserk and you'd say clear-cut they were best of field, particularly not... I mean, if you were... I would have said that the best 3 players on the ground were all for the Bulldogs. Not Geelong.
Yeah, correct.
Myers and Cameron weren't in the Bonampally, Liberatore, Treloar class.
No, but they're probably in the next bracket.
Yeah, but if your best 3 players in a game are playing for one team, you would have thought that team wins.
Yeah.
And the irony there...
But what about the worst 6 players on the ground?
Bulldogs.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, but exactly. But my point there is that the Cats were able to do that and still win, which doesn't happen that often, I don't reckon, in AFL footy. If you've got the other team dominating with their stars. I like Jake Collegeasney's game. People still poo-hooing him. I like him. Thought he was good, particularly in the third quarter. Reece Stanley played well in the last quarter.
His last quarter was massive.
Yeah. I was thinking about this because I saw there was a bit of stuff on some sort of social XXX media.
Right.
Have you ever been into Triple... No. Is it just 1X, is it?
1X.
I was at a different shop.
Yes, Benny.
Which is the other one?
No, Benny, move on.
No, well...
It's too early to be working blue.
It's not blue. they provide a community service, those people.
You're trying to.
No, they provide a community service.
I'm sure they do.
Have you ever been into Sexyland?
No.
Have you ever been in there?
No.
It's a shop. Why can't we talk about it? It's a shop that sells products that is not for everybody, but nor is Bunnings. Not a lot of like... Not everybody wants to do...
I don't think I've ever said...
Not everybody wants to do shit.
I get as far as the sausage sizzle, yeah. And yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Akinyi, what happens is when I say things that he thinks aren't actually fit to be put out, he has to write the time down, the time stamp, so he knows when to. Anyway, we've digressed. But what I was going to say about Reece Stanley was, is that he did. He had a poor first quarter. He sort of got better, and then he had quite a good last quarter. But the fact that we're highlighting that he didn't start. He just did a couple of nice things late in the game, which is fine. But wouldn't you expect that from a bloke who's played 200 games and is 32?
Mm.
That's what the expectation should be. It's not, oh, crikey, how good was Reece Stanley sort of out of the blue? That's got to be the expectation.
Yeah.
And if he's not meeting that's why he's all over the show. Like, if it's a third game and not meeting the expectations, fine. But this bloke's played, what, is it 200?
It's 200 this week.
Is it 200 this week?
Yep.
So 200 games, and we're sort of, which is fine, praising him, but it's like it's an anomaly that he's actually played okay, and he's a 200-game player who's been around the block. So I just, that's sort of where he's at. But he was good. English played quite well. He didn't sort of take over the game in the same fashion that Marshall did in round one. Obviously Stengel. And I mentioned it in the call, Kingy. I thought
Reece Stanley actually had more hit-outs than Tim English.
Yeah, but that's the biggest load of crap.
But he's still getting his hands. At least he's getting his hands on the 40.
Who won the clearances? How many hit-outs to advantage?
Clearances were 53 to 44 the Dogs' way.
Yeah.
Hit-outs to advantage I don't have in front of me.
I'm pretty sure English won the hit-outs to advantage. Just the general overview hit-outs is just the greatest rubbish stat of all time.
But you'd rather your ruck getting your hands on the footy.
Yeah, but it's not. But the ball bounces all over the place anyway, and the opposition take it away. So is it a clanger then if he taps it out and they clear it away and kick a goal? No, it's not considered a clanger. He gets a point for it in like Super Bunnies or whatever people play. What is that?
Super Coach.
Super, that's it.
Super Bunny.
Yeah. So I just think that overall stats in terms of the hit outs are just absolute a nonsense in footy. And the fact that people score points in Super Bunny for that is just even more of a nonsense. Do you do Super Bunny?
No, Ben.
Neither do I.
No.
King's just running down time. Are we allowed to say Super Bunny?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm sure we'll get away with that, Benny. The couple of conundrums for the Cats this week with North Melbourne coming down here, and all things being equal, Cats win and win comfortably, but based on how Sydney took more than a half, maybe three quarters to shake off the West Coast Eagles, you've actually got to be careful that you don't go in with that mentality, and you could find yourself, the AFL, as Mitch Duncan said yesterday, is a tough competition, and you know, they've got some good kids, and one day they're going to string it all together. You just don't want it to be this Sunday.
No, I'm sure that they'll string it all together at some point, but yeah, you've got to be on your game. Do you think they'll play Dangerfield?
If he's right, yes. I can't see why you don't play him if he's right.
It's a difficult one. I mean,
he did, what did he say? He did 10Ks on Saturday.
Yeah.
And he was back running within 3 days.
Yeah.
I suspect they were probably more conservative last week.
Possibly. I'd err on the side of giving him another week. Yeah. I mean, the side's going well without him. I'm not saying that you know, they've done well without him. You'd like to think at home they could beat North if they're... I mean, the only way they don't beat North is if the Cats don't come with the right mindset.
Yeah.
Would be my thought. North will challenge them at times because they've got some good young players. If Geelong come with the right mindset and play to 90% of their capacity, 90, 95, they should beat North Melbourne, with or without Patrick Dangerfield.
Yeah.
So I'd be... He's got a big... Well, only a 5-day break into the Bulldogs.
Into Brisbane.
Into Brisbane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you prefer him to be cherry ripe fresh for that? Because he can go fresh.
Absolutely.
He's like Scalacci. Scalacci used to win all the time when he was fresh.
Jake Colajasny has a quad issue that he'll be tested for. Zach Tui, an ankle issue that he'll be tested for. Gary Rowan's a chance to play footy this weekend. Does he go back through the VFL?
Yeah, 100% he does.
Goes to Cramer Street to play Northern Bullants
on
Sunday.
I would have thought so.
Yep.
Yeah, 100% he does. Yep. He missed quite a bit of the preseason as well.
He did.
It's not like he's just missed the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, he probably needs a couple.
Yeah, I would have thought. You're not upsetting the balance by bringing him straight back in off that. He gets a... And look, he may not do much in the twos, but just having a run around will do him good.
Cam Guthrie's at best a fortnight away. At worst, I think it's back to less than a month.
Yeah, good.
So that's good signs that you might see him playing footy by the end of April. He'll probably need one in the VFL.
I would have thought at least, just to find his feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least one, maybe two, depending on the draw, who they're playing. And you want to sort of ease him back in, given the injury he did sustain off the back of a really long break.
There's a bit
took
of
about 1 second to get
the next
injury.
Month, there's a bit of predictability with the Cats fixture after the Sunday. Then I think they play three consecutive Saturdays into a Friday night against Port Adelaide here, and then they go to Gold Coast, Darwin to play the Gold Coast 6 days later. So that's sort of that's their run that's going to be really challenging until they get a bit of a buffer between Gold Coast and GWS back here at home.
Well, it won't be easy.
No.
That was a cracking game between Gold Coast and GWS.
Yep.
Gold Coast through the kitchen sink at GWS. They're my flag tip.
When you've got a lot of first-round draft picks out there,
it was good red-hot footy. And GWS, you know, the GWS of old would have folded and lost that game and there would have been an upset. But they armbarred them, stuck with them, kept them at arm's length, and then won by 5 goals. Mm. It was impressive. They've got every base covered, GWS. They are, right now, they are in the box seat, Kingy. That's my big prediction, in the box seat.
Yep. The Cats, obviously, early start Sunday, 1 o'clock. It'll be interesting to see what they do with some guys, whether the management of some older blokes.
Tui managed?
Well, he was only managed the week before, wasn't he?
He was terrible. He wasn't good.
Yeah. Well, he might not be right anyway.
Father Time's caught up with him.
He might not be right anyway with that ankle. So.
Yeah, they'll manage him then.
When does Hawkins have a rest? I know he's never been one to have one, but at nearly 36.
Shannon Neal?
Yeah.
Would you bring the big Australia's Got Talent man in?
Yep.
Is that Shannon Knoll?
That was Shannon Knoll.
Yeah. Do you remember Shannon Knoll had the...
No, Benny.
Do you remember that though?
Yeah, I know.
Do you remember what he had?
He had a little goatee.
That's right.
He had a little goatee.
What else do they call that?
A soup strainer.
What?
A little soup strainer.
A soup strainer?
Yeah. Benny, I'm moving on because you are a disgrace sometimes. You just make life difficult for me. As I said, if you want to edit it, if you want to produce it, you can tell all the jokes you want and you cop the
heat. Can we do that? Can we have one episode that's just produced by me?
I won't be on it.
No, all right.
Find somebody else.
Well, I'd love
find some other sucker to... Some other sucker to take the fall for you.
Right, okay.
It won't be me.
All right.
Okay, is that fair?
Just do it on your phone and send it out?
If you not on my phone, you can do it on your phone.
Right.
Just nothing to do with K-Rock.
No, it won't be.
Nothing to do with
K-Rock. Written and authorised by me.
Brandon Parfitt again.
Yeah, good. Really good.
So he's now averaging 20 disposals and the best part of 10 tackles in his 3 games.
Yeah, look, he's taken that opportunity, which is something that he couldn't do last year when he did get a few of them. He struggled. But this year, for whatever reason, he's been consistent. I think he's probably had 20, you said average, he's probably had close on 20 touches every game, is he?
Yeah, I think it's been 20, 20 and 19.
And 30 tackles? Yeah, 25, 30 tackles?
I think a 10, 11 and 8.
Yeah, that's good going. And look, credit to him. He's obviously had a pretty good preseason.
8 clearances on the weekend.
Too. Yeah, that's his go. I said that last week, I think, Kingy, that his go is his clearance work and his tackling. That's what he's good at. Actually, we said that to Patrick Dangerfield when we had him on pre-game. But that's what he's good at. He clears the ball quite well, and he is a good tackler. Mm. He's got a good tackling technique, and he's strong for his size. He's not the biggest bloke, but he's actually strong in the tackle, which is a great attribute to have when you're playing around the ball. So I'm really happy for him. I don't know what happened last year, but whatever it was, it wasn't good. And he was on the outer again. It must be mentally draining for him to play poorly last year, and then when he did get some opportunities, play poorly again, and then be out of the side, and then you go through a big preseason, set yourself for it, and then you're on the outer again. I mean, he was even on the outer for the first practice match, I think.
Well, he played... He didn't play against Essendon. He was the...
I don't think he played against Carlton either.
He didn't play in the main AFL part.
No, they put him on with the
VFL guys.
Yeah.
And he then missed the Essendon. He was the carryover for the Essendon game, so he played in a VFL practice match against
week. He was on the outer from the outset of this year, off the back of last year, which must be mentally tough. And he gets the call up, flies over in the middle of the night, the night before Adelaide.
Yep.
And in 3 games... He's really, made a presence and made an impact. Yep. I'm so absolutely thrilled for him. And as I said, it adds another string to the bow, which was looking a bit thin for the Cats in the midfield.
Mm. Cam Guthrie when they get him back. If they, I know, obviously, your injury list is never at nothing, but, gee, right now, compared to this time 12 months ago, it's a completely different situation.
Yeah, it is. It's good. And they've got, you know, seemingly Stengel is playing better, although he was, you know, just in the first couple of games. But he played well. His pressure was good. That, you know, and then ended up bouncing into kicking goals. Close probably was a little bit quiet.
Yep.
Especially in the first half last week. He struggled in the first half. Mind you, they're playing in positions where you can struggle. It's not
still
like...
Still laid five tackles.
Yeah, he was okay. Myers played well. Ollie Henry bobbed up again and kicked a couple, albeit he was probably pretty quiet.
Jack Bowes' best game for Geelong.
Yeah, Jack Bowes. What, do you have 18 possessions, I reckon, in the midfield?
20? 23.
Yeah, 23.
Kicked two goals.
Yeah, that was important. He was good. Yeah, good. I don't know. When Dangerfield and Guthrie come back, I don't think he stays in the midfield.
Where does he go?
Well, that's the problem. I don't know where he does go because I don't know that he's quick enough to play in defence. He'd probably get exposed for leg speed in defence. He could possibly play on the wing. I don't know what his tank's like. Can he get back and help? Ollie Dempsey was good again on the weekend.
Yeah.
Really good. Just sort of, he's just doing things that you maybe didn't expect he could do. I mean, not that you can expect him to do them, but you thought he was maybe a bit of a one-trick sort of pony, but he's actually showing himself not to be. He was good. He got involved in general play, did some nice things.
He had 19 possessions.
Yeah, off a wing. So would you take him out to put Bowes on the wing?
No.
No. So that's the sort of, you know, the conundrum. That's a good word, isn't it? Yes. Have you ever been in a conundrum?
I've been in a few.
Yeah. So, don't know. I just don't know about him in defence because he lacks a yard of pace, which, you know, if you're playing on the likes of a Close, and he's obviously not going to play in Close, but those blokes who are quick, which a lot of those smaller forwards for the opposition are, I don't know, you can just be found out a little bit if you haven't got that leg speed. He doesn't have it.
Kangaroos haven't won here since 2015. Cats actually, they haven't beaten the Cats since 2015.
No. Well, I mean, that doesn't surprise you, does it? They've been in the wilderness, haven't they?
They have, yeah. Ever since they made the
shin bones.
They made the finals in 2014. They beat the Cats in that thrilling semi-final at the G.
I remember that.
And then 2015.
That was an upset galore, wasn't it?
And got the Cats both times in 2015, one here, one in Melbourne. Actually, we're going to have the quiz this week, Benny. The one that's been, the integrity has been called in.
Oh, there's a bit of integrity issues.
First question, is Geelong and North Melbourne related? We'll give you an early hint, 5223295. I think we're doing the quiz at about 10 past 12 on Saturday. Name the former North Melbourne ruckman who came to the Cats but only played 19 games in 3 years.
Oh, I know who it was, but it's going to set the cat amongst the pigeons. Yeah. Does his first name start with H?
It does.
Yeah.
Yep. So do your research. 2013 he got to the club. So yes. You'll be able to work it out. So do a bit of sniffing. You want some questions, Benny?
We paid him a lot.
And got not a lot in return.
No, it was a bit like when we got... Remember we got Mitch White? They worked out how much money he made per kick.
Yeah.
I think Cookie may have done that deal because he was from West Coast.
Yeah.
And
he ended up playing in the VFL flag.
They paid him $1 million, I reckon, for 3 years.
Yeah, wow.
And back then it was a lot of money. And I think I don't know what it was. I think he worked out he got $50,000 a kick.
Really?
He didn't get much. He hardly played. Wanted about 50,000 kicks.
That's 20 kicks.
Well, I don't know how many games he played, but he didn't get many. Maybe it was a game. Maybe it was 50,000 a game. Because he certainly didn't get on the park that much. And when he did, he was horrible. Like, horrible. He spent all time surfing down the coast.
What number did he wear? He wore 19 for Geelong, didn't he?
Yeah.
Let me just go and find him on AFL tables.
He was a bit laconic. Anyway, that was one of those deals that went a bit skew-iff for the Cats, that one.
He played 21 games.
So he got 50 grand a game.
He played 16 in his first year, and then 5 in his second year, and 2 in his last year.
Yeah. Old Mitch.
And played in that VFL flag with Bluey and Minch and all
that
crew.
It's the most expensive player going around in the twos you've ever seen.
All right. Off the KFC X, this is from Premier's.
X.
Is Eddie Maguire the most self-serving grub the game has ever had? His comments comparing Joel Selwood and Jack Ginnivan last week were disgraceful. Also, a bit of talk around Taron Thomas and the Cats. The kid can play.
Well, what did Eddie say about Jack Ginnivan and Joel
Selwood? No, I don't know. No, I missed it.
Well, obviously, the ducking.
Yep.
Or the shoulder shrugging.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't hear those comments, so I can't comment. I wouldn't have thought you'd be wanting to draw too many parallels between Joel Selwood and Jack Ginnivan, but maybe he did. The Taron Thomas one, he is extremely talented.
Yep.
Extremely talented. He is a very, very good player. I just don't know. If you think your footy culture is, you know, I mean, Geelong will be thinking that their culture will turn him around and this will happen and that will happen. Well, maybe. But it also could bite you on the ass. I'd be given the world we live in, Kingy, I'd be staying away from Taron Thomas.
Steve Hocking is joining us, Cats CEO pre-games.
Ooh, Kingy, are you going to put it to him?
I might ask him the question.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this came from Andrew Mackey
on Melbourne radio station,
saying that what?
Well, not ruling out that they'd inquire as to
what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but he's got a suspension to serve.
Which is this year.
Yeah, most of this year. I think it's up until
18.
Yeah.
I think he got 18 weeks.
Yeah.
He is. If you're taking all the other rubbish aside, he is, on talent, he is extremely talented.
But some of his off-field stuff has left a sour taste in many people's mouths, as it should.
Absolutely. Mind you, people bounce back, don't they? Tom Morris?
Yeah.
He's on everything.
Yep.
Mind you, I think Taron Thomas is a little more serious.
I think apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Yeah. People, got to be careful what you say here because somebody will take it out of context. But, Tom Morris.
I think there's a little bit more meat on the bone with Taron Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah. Stick, one unsuccessful captain's call per quarter but cannot be used to stop play, e.g. delay kicking. Please. Captain's call made but play continues when the play stops. The umpire requests a review. If successful, play is taken back to the point of the review. This replaced goal umpire reviews. No. That's doing your head's exploding over there.
Absolutely not. If that happens, we start stopping games and reviewing stuff, and that's just a slippery slope. And it's just please. I mean, the one that gets me is that we're trying to legislate perfect in the game. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So, the irony is that we're reviewing shots at goal. The goal umpires just won't make decisions now. The ball goes through the middle of the goals and he's wanting to review that is the ball still yellow? The umpire's not sure. Like, what the hell?
Can I be cynical?
No. Why? What's happened?
Well, the score reviews are sponsored. So every time the score review goes up
surely
on the board.
Surely, God, not. Why are they should have, and we've reached last touch. The game is last touch. Why not just make it last touch so we don't have to go on with the charade of fans and players wanting deliberate every 2 seconds. Just play last touch.
Insufficient intent, Benny.
It's last touch. Mm. There's a couple on the Bulldogs Geelong game were absolutely horrendous.
Marky Mark, the lamp. Chris Scott's name keeps getting mentioned to take over the Tassie Devils, Brisbane Lions or West Coast Eagles. If he goes, who would be a good replacement? Boris Enright, Hinkley in 2 years, James Kelly.
I think James Kelly would be one, possibly. That I think is building a pretty good resume and a pretty good reputation. Without you wouldn't really have a clue, Kingy. I'm sure there's a lot of good candidates out there, and some of them would be completely foreign to Geelong fans. But, I mean, off the top of my head, I would have thought that James Kelly would be... I mean, Stephen King, I would have thought, is desperate to be a senior coach. He's so a bit of a serious unit, isn't he, Kingy?
Do you know who the last coach Geelong appointed that was from another club? Had coached another club.
As in coached seniors?
Yep.
At another club?
Yep.
Kingy, well, you're racking my brain here. I would say that it was... Gary Ayres? No.
He went to Adelaide?
Yeah. Malcolm Blight came... He wasn't.
Technically, he coached North Melbourne for whatever amount of games in 82 or 83 and then pulled the pin, so I'm not counting him.
Right, I don't know.
Tom Hafey.
Was it?
Divine.
T-shirt Tommy.
Yep. Divine, Blight, Ayres, Thompson, Scott. None of them had senior, other than Blight's very short stint as a playing coach with North, hadn't had, yeah. So, interesting to see where the Cats would go, whether they... You know, they've been loath to bring in, although they've been so late. When you talk about coaching stability, the Geelong story is unbelievable.
It is. It's like a stable table, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you have your brekkie on when you're in bed.
Yeah. They haven't sacked one since John Devine.
No.
The minimum tenure has been 5 seasons. Some clubs have just gone through coaches like.
Well, the NFL's the same.
Yep.
How long do you think, Kingy, before we have a player wear zero?
In footy?
Mm.
I don't know whether it's allowed under the rules.
Why?
I think you've got to be numbered 1 to 99.
I reckon they'll change them.
Okay, why is that?
Well, just that the NFL now players are wearing zero.
Okay.
So,
but isn't that all positional?
No,
the numbers
not anymore.
It was,
it used to be.
Yeah, okay.
But now they've sort
just
of...
Just pick your number.
Well, not so much pick your number. Depending upon your position you play, there are sort of parameters.
Yeah.
But they've become a lot more open to other to players wearing different numbers.
Your quarterback's not wearing 92.
No, your quarterback's not wearing 92, but your quarterback's wearing 1 to 19.
Yeah, right.
But, it used to be that... Anyway, they've changed it. But some of the players now, they had the same rule, no zero. But now they've allowed it and players are wearing zero. So there will be a zero in the AFL at some point, Kingy.
Marky Mark also asking, boyhood friends with Tanner and Ollie Henry, would Geelong go for Charlie Lazaro at North out of contract at the end of this year, not getting games with the Kangas?
Yeah, it's probably not the silliest suggestion. I actually thought... I saw Charlie Lazaro play against North Melbourne, played Carlton, and I actually thought he played okay.
Good Friday.
Yeah. He didn't start, but he played okay. I thought he was solid enough, and he got dropped. So, it'd be interesting to see. I wouldn't have thought that would be, something that's as far-fetched as you could imagine. I think it'd be... And he plays midfield. Geelong are looking to sort of... depth their midfielders as players like Dangerfield and Guthrie move on. Tommy Atkins is not young,
Bring him through with Bruin.
They'd look at it because what is he, 22?
Yeah, 21.
Yeah, I mean, that's in the wheelhouse of if you are going to get a player who there is question marks about his ability to make it, or be a long term player, you want to make sure that they are young enough. You don't want to get that bloke when he's 26, 27. You want to get that bloke when he's 21, 22.
Apologies, just turned 22.
Right. But that's the age demographic to get a player like that. So, I would have thought that, I think they'll start exploring all avenues.
Yes. Damien Tedesco, great call on Thursday night. I thought we called on Saturday night. But thank you, Damien. Benny, as much to your dislike, thought Stanley had a great last quarter.
Yeah, we mentioned that. I thought he was good too. I was happy with it. But don't we just don't you sort of half expect that from a bloke who's 200 games on the board? Anyway.
Shout out to Clark, Tanner.
Let's hope he backs it up this week, Kingy. Because is Cherry playing for North or is he injured?
I
think he might be injured.
I think he's injured.
Yeah, which means he might be a bit depleted in the ruck. But if he's playing that Tristan Cherry for North, he's actually not too bad. So let's hope Reece can, continue on. Let's find some form. Let's get some consistency in the game.
Yep.
Let's find a benchmark of consistency where
he had that consistency in the second half of 2022.
Yeah, but exactly right. Well, yeah, he did. Yeah. So, can he get back to that? I don't know. Let's hope.
Cherry played against Brisbane. Had 41.
They were disappointing in the first half. North Melbourne against Brisbane, very disappointing. Yeah. They were better in the second half.
That was white flag.
They were better in the second half, but let's not go in there just thinking we're going to steamroll them because they have got some good kids, like gun kids.
Yep.
Dersma, that McKercher is a very good player.
Wardlaw.
Yeah, Wardlaw's a gun.
Tim
Powell is starting to play good footy.
Yep. Tim Powell, he played for Richmond. You talking about Tom?
Oh, Tom Powell, sorry. Colin Powell. Wasn't he a general of the American Army?
Yeah, he was.
And the battle, the key battle between DeConing and Larkey. Larkey's a good player. So there's a few, they're very thin in defence North, so if Geelong can get enough of the ball, you would have thought that Cameron and Hawkins, if he plays, Kingy, I don't know whether they rest him, one of those you think might have the ability to really have a big day, because they are very light on in defence, and losing Mackay obviously hurt them. So, but the Cats need to come with the right mindset. Good teams come with the right mindset. They don't come just turning up thinking they're going to win. And at home helps, but you'd like to think that the Cats will go 5-0.
Howler 41 off the big footy for them. To kick nearly 100 points with Jezza and Hawkins combining for two is a great sign. Also, having your gun forward push up the ground to be the team's leading possession getter is also great. If he'd kick straight, it was a Gaz senior game pants down arrangement.
Yeah, well, that's probably true.
If he kicks 4-2 instead of 2-4.
Well, he didn't, though.
No, he
and
didn't.
And if I had, you know...
I know what you're saying. Yeah,
if
go
my
on.
Auntie
yes, Ben.
Had a different sort of
yeah, appendage.
Set of arrangements,
yep.
She wouldn't be my auntie,
no,
would she? But
no.
he did play well, though. 2-4, you've got to be... He's, we've spoke about this on the broadcast, Kingy. His set shot goal kicking is very hit and miss, isn't it? He gets
and
very close to the man on the mark.
And it wasn't in his first year.
No, he gets very close to the man on the mark. He has very little momentum. He's just like a sort of a 4 or 5 steps. And he's not, yeah, I don't know, he's you're not confident with his set shots. You'd love to see him sort of tidy that up, Kingy, I think is the expression.
Yep. Chance to rest Hawkins for Shag and Neil Duncan could also be rested. Well, he won't be because he missed 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
So he'll keep playing. Maybe even Clark because we have a tough run home after the Kangaroos. Jai Clark might be one. They did sub him.
Yeah, he was probably sort of slightly down a little bit, which you know you'd expect from a young player. So I'd imagine that they'd look at, you know, is there anybody in the twos who might come up, young player who might get an opportunity? Hardy?
Yeah, he had a couple. Well, the problem is that he lost his momentum because they had a couple of AFL games and then the week off.
Do they bring Manor back in?
I think, yeah, well, you'd think Manor might get an opportunity.
Jai Clark has a rest and Manor comes in.
Yep.
That might be an option.
Yep. Daz Broncos, great call the other night. So glad Benny teed off a bit last week on the lunacy of expectation that the instant gratification crowd are inserting on some young players. Development is exactly that. Development, and it takes time with both good and bad experiences combining to make the player better.
Yeah, I agree. I've always been big on that. Give players time. Let's not just make these, you know, does my head in, the big predictions based off one game or then, you know, conversely negative descriptions off the back of a couple of poor games. Let players play out. And, I mean, we talk about Sam DeConing. Sam DeConing's going to be a gun. Just hang tight, hang tight. He's not... He had one absolutely unbelievable season. He's just finding his feet and getting back to that. But he's very, very, very young. And he's got a lot of growth in him. And when he's playing quite well at the moment, give it another 100 games, he'd be playing like a German band.
In regards to Myers, how good has he been? Do you think opposition coaches will now start to employ a defensive tagging role on him to curb his scoring involvement and thus try to clamp our forward 50 entry ability? Or will they do the same with Stewart?
Well, I'll certainly be paying attention to him. One of the things that Grian has in his favour is that he's an elite runner. He has a huge tank. So it was Blitzarv's Sam Menegola and Grian Myers close behind in the running. He's very difficult to tag. Well, it's funny though, isn't it? Because the midfielders that I always thought are easier to tag are your outside sort of midfielder. The bull that goes and gets it is more difficult to tag because it's harder to follow them into a contest. The player that sort of needs the ball sent out to them is probably easier to tag. Now, Grian is that player, but he does have a massive tank. So if you're going to play on him, good luck. You're going to have to send someone to him who can absolutely run all day. And that's his one wood, getting up and down the ground and being a link between forward and back. So he's effectively, I reckon he plays more as a wingman.
Yep.
Than he does as a half forward because he comes so far up the ground. But he's, you know, you want the ball in his hands 60 or 70 from goal because 8.5, 9 times out of 10, he's making the right decision and executing a kick that is almost impossible to stop.
And catch of the future with the last one, gents. Simple one, Taran Thomas, yes or no, which you've already answered.
Yeah, it's tempting on talent, but that's gone pear-shaped in the past. So I don't know, Kingy. I just think the world we live in, I think you probably better left that. Let him go somewhere else and then, of course, at a lower level and show that he can, for a season, he's capable of...
Yep.
Behaving himself towing the line and
Stengel,
doing all the right things.
Stengel, after Adelaide let him go, went to Woodville West Torrens, played in a flag, and the reports we got back and talking to Daniel Menzel were that he was just a model citizen at the Eagles.
Yep.
And I suspect that Geelong did their due diligence. And obviously, too, also had Eddie Betts in their corner as well, and Eddie at the club, and that was helping as well to help Tyson settle into Geelong. And as much as his last year was a little bit off, This year, he's, you know, he's looking something like 2022.
I just wonder, it's difficult because if he does go and do that, then he'll have 10 clubs probably banging his door down. Yeah. Do you try?
But everybody else saw Tyson Stengel for a year. It was Geelong who were willing to take
the risk. There'd be only certain clubs that could take the risk on Taron Thomas. So probably you're not going to get a bottom club doing it.
No,
it's not.
You've got to ask the question: if where thereabouts is Taron Thomas? No, Thomas taking us to where we need to go.
On talent alone, he could.
Yeah,
100% he could. But he's the other thing, the other side of the coin, which is it shouldn't come into it, but it probably does. Is that you get him for minimum chips.
Yep.
He's coming in and trying to, you might sign him on a one-year deal for absolutely stuff all, for like a tenth of what he would be worth had he not had these issues on his talent.
Yep.
And then he's thinking, well, okay, I've got to toe the line, make good on it, and try and get a contract for a couple of years post that. Does that become a fillip for him to actually do the right thing? Because if he comes to your football club and signs off and says, oh, we'll do the right thing, I will turn up for training, I'll train my hardest, I'll do all the things you need to be good.
Yep.
He's very, very good.
Yep. Steve Hocking to join us at about 11:45. Jared Griffin
from
the Stadium Trust is going to join us as well for a chat. Tommy Atkins as well, pre-game. He's going to do a little bit of inside 50 work with Jay Stowarty. They're going to have a chat walking from basically the goal line to the 50-metre line down at the Selwood stand end. Get to know Tom Atkins a little bit better. We know him pretty well because we've been following his career so closely, but looking forward to that as well. So a big one from 11 o'clock on Sunday.
Looking forward to it, Kingy.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.